Jonah chapter 1. Preaching tonight on the perfect storm. The perfect storm. I hope you've learned some things as we have kind of dove into this book, a short book, but has a lot of good stuff and a lot of meat in it. And in chapter 1, I'm going to look at this chapter from a different perspective than maybe what you've heard before. As our pastor says all the time, there's nothing new under the sun. So I'm sure some of you have thought about this. But hopefully we can share something with you and we can all learn something and also be encouraged and blessed and challenged at the same time. I want to thank the Lord for God using Samuel this morning. He was preaching and singing at Life Change Church, and where my brother-in-law Mick is the pastor. And had a tremendous service there today. God used him in a mighty way. And my mama just had a fit. I don't care to say it like that. She took off walking without a cane and jumping up and down, and God blessed her, and that blessed me to see her blessed. And been a long time since I've been able to see her do that. And God just reminded us one more time, He's so faithful. He's so faithful. He's so good to us. Jonah chapter 1, we're just reading through this chapter, again, beginning in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. The word great there in that text in verse 2 doesn't mean great as far as something awesome. It just means it's big. Okay, that's what that means. But Jonah in verse 3 rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And look at this, and I've said this before, but notice this. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The tempest there is the same word, it's the same connotation as a hurricane is what they were facing. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay. In order to lay, you have to lay down, right? And was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, Why? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Isn't that funny? He was in rebellion, but he still had reverence. I just thought that was kind of ironic. He said, he's in direct rebellion of God, but yet he says, I fear the Lord. He must not have feared him a lot, did he? Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. That's as far as I'm going, but I'll go ahead and read 17 because we don't want to leave it incomplete. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And we know it was a whale. Why? Because Jesus said it was. I read something this week that went along with what is on my heart tonight. Relationships are the currency of life. And I'll say that again. Relationships are the currency of life. And here's what that spoke to me, and here's what that means to me. Whether spiritual, physical, or emotional, in the time which we are living right now, we have to be careful on who we enter into covenant with. I don't think we've ever had a more crucial time. I'm just not talking about world history. I'm talking about the history of Christianity, where relationships have never meant more than they do now. Really, when you look back in your life, probably most problems that you ever had to deal with is because you were hooked up with the wrong people. And really, some of the greatest blessings that you've ever received is because you were hooked up with the right people. Relationships matter. We know that this chapter, we've already mentioned it, I've already preached a couple of messages out of chapter 2 and chapter 4. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but it's the capital of Assyria. And at that time, Assyria was the leading power in the world. It spanned from Egypt to the Persian Gulf. And they had built a massive kingdom, but they did it out of threats, out of violence, out of cruelty, and out of evil, and out of wickedness. Out of sheer terrorism, they built this great power. They were wicked. And so Jonah, of course, was called of God. We've already talked about this. He did not want to go there because we find out later the reason why he didn't want to go in the first place is because he knew God would be merciful and gracious to them. So he didn't want to go there because he didn't like them. So God was good to somebody he couldn't stand and he didn't like it. So that's why he didn't want to go in the first place. We all know that, right? We dealt with that the last couple of sermons. But let me just remind you, just because Israel was God's chosen people did not mean that God had neglected the rest of the world. And just because you think you may have a license, a personal license to grace, don't mean that you, even though you may be chosen of God and God has called you and God has saved you, don't mean that God has neglected the rest of the world. For God so loved, thank you, that he gave his only begotten son, that believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As Mike McCoy says, A plus. God is a God of grace and mercy, and he will extend it to whomever he wants to. So we've covered that already. But here in our text, we see that once God is calling Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city, to preach against it, to preach the judgment that was coming, he decides to go in the exact opposite direction and flee unto Tarshish. If you look at it, it's the exact opposite. He said what he was trying to do. He was trying to run from the presence of God. It's exactly what he was trying to do. And you'll notice, I brought it to your attention, every time he went further from the presence of God, he went down. And I'll remind you once again, I've already said this before, but let me remind you once again, the further you go from the will of God, the further you will go down in the opposite direction. You'll find yourself in a place you never thought you'd ever be. How many people can you, even maybe in your own life, you can look back, remember a time when you were in direct rebellion, you were in disobedience, and you got to a place and you looked up and you shook yourself one day and said, how in the world did I get here? And when God reminded you of where you started to where you were, you knew it was because you were in direct rebellion of the will of God. I promise you, you will try your best to flee from the presence of God. You may try to run, but you can't hide from his presence. Hallelujah. So here, Jonah is called to go down and he flees from the presence of God. And we know that, and we've studied that, and you've heard preachers preach about that. But I want to focus tonight on another group of people in this passage. Because Jonah chapter 1, again, it's not about Jonah. It's all about the mariners that were aboard the ship. Okay? It teaches us this lesson, and here's what I want to try to get across to you tonight. This chapter teaches us what happens to your life will be in direct reflection of who you partner with. Okay? These mariners, these sailors, decided to partner up with Jonah. And because of that, God sent a storm. And when that storm happened, it caused some things to happen in their life. And let me remind you of this. Sometimes God will send storms in our life because you're in the wrong relationships. This isn't a message just for young people. This is a message for the middle age and the senior saint alike. And listen tonight, God sent a storm in the life of these mariners. You'll notice that it came directly after Jonah got on the ship with them. Once they partnered up with him, once they got into covenant with Jonah, then the storm arose in their life. It teaches us that relationships and that people we covenant with are important. They are vital. God ordains a great relationship with people that can help us and can foster relationships with him and to get us closer to him. You say, Brian, how do I know if I'm in the right relationship? How do I know if I'm with the right person? How do I know I'm in the right job? I'll tell you one thing. If the people you are cooked up with, if the people that you are associated with draw you away from God, my friend, that's the wrong kind of relationship. I'm not talking about battles. I'm not talking about things that come up in life that we got to force our way through. Sometimes God allows us to be in places where we can be a light unto others. But I'm talking about people that we choose to have a relationship with. And some of us tonight, you have to say that you are not in some good relationship. There's some people that you've allowed in your life that are bringing you down. And God has allowed a storm to happen in your life. I'm trying to teach you tonight. There's some, God's trying to warn us. Don't get into bad relationships. But the storms that come from these relationships will show us three things, and I'll try to hurry up. Number one, the storms reveal dangerous associations. They reveal dangerous associations. If you're in trouble, if you're in trouble tonight, spiritually, emotionally, even physically, ask yourself this, are the ones that I'm hooked up with, are they bringing me down? Is the trouble I'm in because of the people that I'm connected with? We have to ask ourselves that. And here's how you know if you're hooked up with the wrong kind of people. It's right in our text. I want you to notice this. The first sign you'll see that you're in a relationship with the wrong person is simply this. In verse 5, they began, once Jonah was on board, the tempest started raging, the ship was going to crash. The mariners were afraid, it says, and cried every man unto his God, look at this, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. Here's the first sign you'll know that you're in the wrong association. You'll get rid of everything you need. You'll waste everything that you need. You'll neglect the things that are most precious. Jonah, because of Jonah, these men had to get rid of the things that they needed to survive. And listen, when you're in the wrong relationships tonight, God reminds us, sometimes we have to understand there are things that God has blessed us with. We must cherish them. We must neglect them. But the first thing the devil wants us to do is cause division. And he'll try to get us to get rid of everything that we need in order to survive spiritually. And sometimes he'll use people in order to get that done. Here's the second thing. Everybody okay? The second thing, the tempest came. They said, call on God, right? They wanted everyone to call on God. But it says Jonah was going down into the side of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. They called for a prayer meeting and Jonah was sleeping. Here's another sign you're in the wrong association. When people are in trouble, they don't even want to pray for themselves, let alone you. Yeah. They don't want to take the time to pray for themselves when they're in trouble, but they want you to pray for them. When I'm in trouble, when I'm in need of God to move in my life, I'm not gonna call for some unfaithful, godless person that is around me or just an acquaintance on the street. No, I'm gonna call for someone that I know can get a hold of the throne of God, can get a hold of heaven. You say, Brian, am I that type of person? Has anybody ever asked you to pray for them? It's always quiet when you're having surgery, isn't it? We have to ask ourselves, am I living a life that when people need to get a hold of God, that they'll get a hold of me so I can help them carry that burden? I'm telling you what, folks, there's nothing like having people in your life, relationships in your life. They won't ask details. They don't care to know everything that's going on. They don't want to be the first to know. They ain't going to tell nobody. You know what they're going to do? They're going to immediately get on their knees and they're going to call to the God of heaven and they're going to call up your name in prayer. Listen, I'm thankful that there are people like that. There's a lot of people in this church. I know every single day you call your pastor and your assistant pastor to the throne of God. You say, Brian, you ask us all the time, how do you do it? How do you go night after night? How do you carry the burden? I'll tell you, because we got people praying for us. But I guarantee you this, as soon as I wake up in the morning, first thing I do, I lift my hands to heaven, bow my head and thank the Lord that he's given me another day, and I pray for you all. I'm telling you what, we need prayer warriors in our life, but if you have people in your life that won't call on God, let alone for themselves, let alone you, it's a wrong association. Third, notice this. In verse 8, after the ship was beginning to be tossed, and they began to find out what was going on, they cast the lots, the lot fell on Jonah. Then in verse 8, they for some reason got inquisitive. Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil's upon us? What's thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? You know what they're saying? Who are you? Where'd you come from? It seems you're the one causing the trouble. Here's my question to you. Isn't that a question to ask before he got on the ship? I think sometimes we allow people on board our ship before we check out who they really are. Sometimes we need identity before invitation. If there's any fault I have personally, and I'm preaching about myself here because I'm the only one that really can. If I have a fault, it's that, and I hate to even say it like this, I may be a little gullible when it comes to helping others and helping people. I've been skinned a few times in my life. I've been taken advantage of. And you know why, Jay? You know why? It's because I didn't do my due diligence and check out who they really were. Maybe I'll help them. Maybe I'll do something for them. And then I talk to somebody else and they're like, oh, you helped them? Don't you know about them? I'm like, no, I didn't. Well, man, you probably should check things out before you do something, you know? And I know God will bless me, and if they choose to waste what I give them in the name of Jesus, that's there between them and God. But sometimes when it comes to relationships, we allow people to enter into our lives. We have no idea where they came from, no idea what they're doing, no idea what they're... There's some people out that are just plain evil and scoundrels, folks. And we need to have our spiritual radar up sometimes. Sometimes there's just some things. Listen, and Pastor said this over, and I don't know why I'm even saying this, but Pastor said this in past, and I'll say it one more time. We get asked by so many groups, people, they want to come to our church. They want to come to Rubyville. Okay? They want to minister and help us. There's some really, really great groups out there. There's some really great preachers out there. But sometimes it's not about who they are or where they're from. It's about timing. And sometimes God just puts it in our hearts and we're on the same page. I don't do anything without consulting him and he with me. We talk about each other. I shouldn't say that. We talk with each other to make sure we're on the same page. Because the worst thing for any church is for pastors not to communicate and be on the same page. So we're on the same. And sometimes we both have a feeling like, yeah, I don't know. God's saying no. And then we'll find out 2 or 3 years later, they'd been living in adultery or they're an alcoholic. Now what if we would have had them here? What does that say of your pastors? We're not good shepherds. See what I'm saying? Sometimes we don't need to invite. Sometimes we need to identify. So storms will sometimes reveal dangerous associations. Secondly, the perfect storm also requires direct action. In verses 9 through 12, I won't reread it, but Jonah identified himself as the problem. He's the source of the storm, secondary source of the storm, I should say. He's a reason why it was there. And they said, well, what are we going to do? He said, well, you're going to have to throw me overboard. Here's just food for thought. Why didn't he jump off the ship himself? If he knew he was the problem, why didn't he need somebody else? Oh, well, that's just me. So verse 13, they had to decide what they're going to do. By verse 13, they know three things. They know that he's a renegade prophet. He's in rebellion, right? They know this is a spiritual matter, not a physical matter, because they called it, this evil has come upon us, right? And third, they know the solution is to throw Jonah overboard. So there's the issue. Now, their main problem is this. How do I deal with the revealed will of God? Can I go on record and tell you? Yeah, it's hard when you don't know the will of God. But sometimes it's even harder when you do know the will of God. Because when the will of God is revealed to you, you have to make a decision. Pastor, and it's amazing how God puts all these things together. One thing we do not talk about, folks, is sermons. We want God to direct those, right? I was thinking the same thing. We talked about Pastor Mike. When Mike Simpson knew that his time was done and the revealed will of God was to leave and step down from his church, then he had to decide what he was going to do. I've said it many, many times. When God in 2004 told my family and I to move from Beach Fork and come here, the revealed will of God was simply this: go. I had to make a decision. It required direct action. So think about this. Their main problem is, how do we deal with the revealed will of God? But notice, Jonah is also dealing with the revealed will of God. So let's look at it this way. Jonah's problem became the sailor's problem because they partnered with him. And what we don't realize, folks, Satan will use people and place them in our lives, and if we allow them into our lives, their problems become our problems. And I'm not talking about trying to help people spiritually. No, that's what we're called to do. I'm talking about things that there are no solutions for sometimes. And the baggage that they bring along, you're going to have to carry too. You know, I have heard of this and in several different occurrences throughout my life, but there are couples that live together. For instance, maybe the husband was a chain smoker, okay, and then the wife wasn't, but later in life she developed lung cancer. And the doctors will ask, are you a smoker? And they may say, no, I've never smoked a day in my life. Well, have you ever been around somebody? Yeah, my husband was a chain smoker for years. Well, ma'am, unfortunately, you have cancer from secondhand smoke damage. That wasn't her smoke. But because she was in covenant with him, she took on his problem. And folks, the relationships that we allow in our life, beware. Those aren't your problems. But if the devil will allow you to bring people in on your ship that don't need to be there, you'll start carrying a burden that you don't need to be carrying. Storms require direct attention. They will reveal dangerous associations. But let's end on a good note. Storms also render divine appreciation. Look at what happened. Jonah revealed that he was the problem, and they made the decision, let's row harder. I mean, they could have just thrown him overboard right then, but they didn't want the wrath of God on them. So they tried their best to try to save the ship and save everybody's life. But ultimately the decision was this: we're gonna have to throw this guy overboard. So before they did, look, in the beginning of the chapter, they're calling upon their own gods. But now by the end of the chapter, they're calling on the God of Jonah. And so they said, you know what? We beseech you, Lord, we beg of you. We're going to have to put this man overboard, and he is going to die in the waters. Don't put this innocent blood on us. And so they took Jonah, it says, cast him into the sea, and immediately the sea ceased from raging. And look what it says. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. A group of men that did not care about God or want to know about God, now they are rendering sacrifices back to the Jehovah God. Sometimes storms, God will allow storms in our life to shake our faith, to get us to renew our focus and to understand, listen, God sent this storm for a purpose, and the purpose was this: to make sure that we offer sacrifice unto God and understand he's the only one that can get us through the storm. They threw him overboard and the seas became calm. They sacrificed Jonah so they can have life. Let's break this down even more. We'll close. Lord, family, here's a 2-minute warning. Can you come and sing an invitation song? There's nothing that goes with Jonah, so just whatever's on your heart. Think about it this way. They were about ready to perish in the sea, but they had to sacrifice. Someone had to be sacrificed. Someone had to die in order for them to live. They assumed that he was dead. But in order for them to live, someone had to be willing to die. Is this thing on? In order for them to live, someone had to be willing to die. And they assumed that he died. They assumed that he was entered into a watery grave. But what they didn't know is that the Lord prepared a fish. And 3 days later, he come up out of that deep, dark grave. Amen. And just like Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be buried. They killed him on the cross. They thought he was dead. They buried him in a tomb. But thank God he rose again, victorious, to give us life. Aren't you thankful tonight for the Savior that is living and sitting on the throne? Hallelujah. And tonight we render appreciation to him. We give our honor and glory to him because he deserves it.